An emergency situation.
I just didn't see my phone. I would have looked at it shortly if he hadn't come back and there was set point on Chatrier. Sharif, with the back end long. Oh, dear. This is a messy game. So John says, so now we all know not to have Gigi as our emergency contact. That's a bit harsh, John. Didn't know he was going to get... No, because I'm the one that doesn't switch my phone off. Courtney, don't have Courtney, because if you get in trouble past, I don't know, midnight, he's not answering.
2 to 3 a.m. too.
I would answer at 3, 4, 5, 6 a.m. Not for you, you've done those fingers at me 3 times. You can go back in the lift.
Blocked.
From my... I'm going to have a word with those lift people. Backhand cross court into the net. So Sharif is on the board.
First of 3 break points goes big, and Goff had done a good job in this game to recover after a pretty sloppy service game, gifted the break back to her rival. She did well to hold her feet on the most previous point as well. Yeah. She really had them skidding like a cartoon character, but she did well and held on and in a position now to try and seize the break for 5-3.
I can't catch Stefan's eye to start waving his fingers around again. I think it's a funny old match and a funny old moment. It's a funny old week. It's the heat's getting to everybody. Still break points for Goff. Serve down the tee. Goff with the off backhand. Forehand up the line. You can tell when Sharif hits the ball. There we go. Inside out forehand. Forehand cross court. Forehand brought down by Goff. Short ball though. She's attacking Sharif. She drops the ball over. Oh, what touch!
Just remarkable, delicate work with the racket. Now, I'm going to say that I'm not so sure. I think that was more a Hail Mary of sorts or a what can I do? She really felt a bit befuddled, but she handled it quite well.
Beautiful.
Beautiful backhand drop shot. I think she has a little surprised look in her eye. The coach is going, oh, we knew that. We planned that.
Even JC Frail, Coco Gauff's coach, was like, okay, it was good. Yeah, we'll take it. It's good. Stood well up at the net. But still, a break point remains for Coco Gauff. Inside out forehand on the return from Goff. There's a slither of sunlight by the umpire's chair on Susan Longland. As you can imagine, they're highballing each other now. Lashings of spin. Up it goes from Sharif. Up it goes from Goff. Sharif runs round, tries to flatten it out through the middle. The slice of the forehand from Goff. The drop shot, from Sharif. It did not work on that occasion. She shakes her head a couple of times. Coco Gauff, 5-3. So an opportunity now to serve out the set after 1 hour.
And I really like what she did there. We'd seen a lot of high, high, high topspinning balls back and forth. Coco took the chance when in the rows to just hit a heavily sliced forehand, kept the ball low, meant that Sharif had to move forward as opposed to back, where she was lofting those ones right into the air and draws the error.
Stefan's just sitting there laughing. I don't think it.
I think he was
traumatized. Yeah. I don't know what went on in that lift for those 10 minutes, but you're a different man. Forehand cross court from Sharif, cross court forehand from Goff. Ooh, Sharif lets that fly. And he keeps looking at his phone.
Well, I'm wondering if he's made a report.
Well, I think he's
has he reported
what,
the
me?
International
for not answering my phone?
Human Rights Commission?
Me or the lift?
For not answering your phone. You might have been
what
reported.
The lift? It's the thing that broke down. Honestly.
It's a matter for the ombudsman.
Honestly.
He might be writing to Marcus to just try and get the details, the contact details. Of...
Oh, yeah, Marcus written to them enough times. Funnily enough, they've never answered.
Blocked?
Yeah. 5-3, 30 love. Goff looking to charge towards... Can I really say charge to the first set after an hour and 2 minutes?
Ease.
Charge to the finish line.
Yes.
Of the first set. Sharif spins the forehand back into play, back through the middle of court they go, and then deeper from Sharif off the forehand, still on her forehand side, brings that down a bit. You know who she sounds like when she hits the ball? Sara Irani. Squash shot. And then she didn't make a sound that time on the slice. Oh, that was a very delayed call.
Replay the point.
Yeah, that.
And it was in, so the point is replayed.
Doesn't she have like Sara Irani when she hits the ball?
Yes, I think there's elements of that, absolutely. And similarly, scrambling and changing trajectory of shots and a lot of off-pace tennis, trying to disrupt the rhythm of your rival.
She's got a bit of the Sigmund, the noise of the Arani.
The resilience of the Stefan to be able to keep fighting in a perilous position.
Set points. Coco Gauff.
Serve volley. Beautiful slider out wide. I love that from Coco. I'd love to see more of it. Drew a high return and was able to put the back end away. You don't see it often, but it was great angle, great movement, perfect execution on the volley. Great thing to add to your game if you've got that that you can use on occasion.
Yeah.
Beautiful tennis from Gauff.
Set points, 5-3. After an hour, and it's an ace. She seals it with an ace. Congratulations to Coco Gauff. Hour and 3 minutes. She's up and running. We'll keep an eye on that. Roman Andreas Burruchaga from Argentina had the break on Ogielia Seam in the third set, but the Canadian has a break back point. Vanash and Nakashima, very early stages. On serve two on Nakashima. 1-1 second set, Komisanya and Darderi. So 1-1 after Komisanya took the first set. And Aryna Sabalenka had the break. She lost the break. And it's 4-3 on serve at the moment.
And 30 love to the French hope. So it's one to keep an eye on here because Sabalenka, we know that there was a little concern perhaps about her where she came to this tournament, and she's certainly not taking the pace off the forehand. She rifles another one up the line.
So as Sabalenka smashes this away, I didn't have any concerns. What were your concerns?
Oh, just in terms of the transition to clay. Can she deliver here? You know, has she got what it takes to win after? I think it's been a not the usual high standard.
I sort of turned that to a positive and thought that, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but lost to Hayley Baptiste in Madrid. I mean, Baptiste played out of her mind. Then Castella in Rome. I thought it maybe would give her a little bit more time.
To get herself ready, etc.
To get herself ready to get to Roland Garros. Shot from Jacquemot, pick up from Sabalenka, winner from Jacquemot. Although I haven't picked Sabalenka to win Roland Garros.
Yeah, it's as you. Is anyone alive? Marcus is alive in the predictions in the men's side, isn't he?
Well, his woman's gone. So Marcus is the only one alive in the men's, but he's out in the women's.
So, yeah.
Sabalenka spins the inside out four, and a lashings of spin from Jacquemot. The smash brought down. The lob goes up from the French, and the smash goes down from Sabalenka.
Yeah, she certainly looks to be moving okay. We know she had that little, a timeout against... Sestea just had some work done. This is during the Italian Open where there was the hip and she had courtside work where she was on the towel, and she said about 5-6 days ago that she fell 100%, but it was just more that combined with
not having a lot of tennis that she's played in the lead up to the clay. One India Wells in Miami, and then popped up in Madrid for the first time on the clay since Miami.
Yes.
That's a good hold from Jacquemot.
So right at a really tense part of this match now at 4-4. A couple of emails are coming in. We can get to the lift sticking stories.
Merci, madame, monsieur.
About the finger flipping stories.
Bobby is saying poor Stefan stuck in a lift and everyone is bringing him down. Well, not everyone.
He's the one with the fingers. We weren't bringing him down. Backhand cross court from Sabalenka. Pick up from Jacquemot. Smash. Oh, she's missed it. She's missed it, Sabalenka. Just leaning backwards.
And just the racket thrust, the positive affirmation. Here comes another man who may have walked up the stairs after he heard about Stefan getting stuck in the lift. Being snubbed by the Empress. Gabriel writes from Fort Worth in Texas. Hot, muggy Fort Worth to say, agree with Gigi. Keep the phone on. When we only had landlines, we didn't turn them off.
I always keep my phone on. Chris, that's the famous brioche.
Yes.
From Sophie. It's quite heavy. Just have some water nearby. Sabalenka serve out wide, blocked back by Jacquemot, sits up. Sabalenka smashes it from the baseline. No mistaking this time.
Really aggressive, assertive move there from Sabalenka. That's a tough play. You might normally expect someone to hit a heavy topspinning forehand, take that approach. No, bang, stepped in and bounce smash, and well executed. 15 all. Daniel's not concerned about the safety of being stuck in an elevator, as we call them here in the US, but often consider what I would do if I became desperately in need of the loo.
Well, it's only 10 minutes, though.
That's fair.
Asseyez-vous, s'il vous plaît, mesdames et messieurs. Merci beaucoup.
He's a carpenter at a community college in San Francisco and preferring listening to the radio over the TV. Well, we've got Marcus and Chris coming in after this. To keep you company through the early evening.
I already know that Marcus is going to give Stefan no sympathy for being stuck in the lift.
It's quite...
But you brought that up before.
It was
you
really
look like you've just walked up the stairs. You look a bit sort of worse for wear.
It's really quite extraordinary scenes here. As I said, caught in the lift and then Stefan flipped the bird to the Empress three times. Back to back to back.
Well, it was...
15-30.
Three times, and I still don't know why. Stefan messaged saying I'm stuck in the lift, and because I was working so hard on this very
longest ever service game
in the history of tennis, I didn't see the message to say he was stuck in a lift. 15-30, Sabalenka opening for Jacquemot, who hits the backhand off the serve, pushes it very deep, inside out forehand from Sabalenka. Sabalenka inside the baseline with the backhand down the line, squash shot from Jacquemot. That drifts long as Sabalenka snatches the ball and it's 30 all, and Sabalenka is not happy at the moment.
No, and we might need Stefan. I mean, I'm glad he's made it out of the lift. We might need him to take a quick look at this computer. There's a panicking message that's just popped up. An alarm bell ringing on this laptop.
An alarm bell?
An alarm bell ringing for Sabalenka as she drops serve in this game. It's 4-all, 30-all, and here we have a...
Sabalenka misses the first serve down the tee. Stefan's trying to sort out the computer. Chris is thinking about eating the brioche. Marcus is getting his breath back from the stairs. It's all happening in the Radio Roland Garros commentary box at 6:49 on a Thursday evening. Sabalenka reaching up the second serve out wide. Smash back. Whoa, let's go. There we go. Game point.
Just the emotion from the world number one. It is so tight, this first set. Jacquemot doing a great job to be able to fight back. She was down early. The crowd firmly in her corner. Local hopeful.
Yeah, she's gone from hero to hopeful in the course of 40 minutes. Perfect serving from the world number one, who discards the spare ball in disgust at the level that she feels she's playing at the moment. She should have had this first set wrapped up. She was a break ahead on a couple of occasions. Jacquemot fought back, and she's not quite there yet.
5-4.
We're not quite there yet, are we?
No.
10 minutes. I think Chris wants us to leave. Oh, what's happening? He wants us to leave. Stefan's flipping me the fingers. I mean, the message is coming across quite clearly today.
Stefan, I
might not come back for the night session. It's you and Eleanor are going to have fun with Berrettini and Rindiknesh. Actually, you'd say that perfectly.
The body language, it's a dominant position from Chris. He's ready to go.
It's an imposing position from Chris, isn't it?
As John Rogers has written to say, Stefan still has PTSD.
There's some headphones over here. Look, Chris is grabbing those. He's moving himself away from the brioche.
Marcus
has a lot of stuff. It was like a teenager's bedroom earlier, so let's pop him in there. Right, the brioche is there. No, Chris, I feel like I've been told off.
No, you haven't been told off.
You look to your left. You're kind of leaning on the thing saying, why are you two?
This is the shortest shift of the day.
Still.
We're offering to take over now, so you have a little bit longer to get some dinner.
Right.
Is that not very kind of us?
Well, this is Courtney's only shift of the day, and you've cut it short, Chris.
Oh, well.
You could look at it that way. Poor Courtney gets 2 hours, and you've given him an hour and 50.
Yeah, well, the good news is you can save a bit of money on the rotor because he won't get the full amount, will he?
You and money, you try to dock Eleanor. I'm going to take that advantage because I'm back at 8:15. Courtney, you are welcome to stay for another 10 minutes.
To stay with these two?
You are, that's what I'm going to say.
I'm very, very happy to take off. And
I thought you would be.
Let you gentlemen take control, given that was such a decisive move.
Outside
is the commentary box.
Is that Sharif serving?
Is that Sharif and Goff's service game still going?
400 turn from Sabalenka is a clean winner. That is making a statement. Because Jacquemot is serving to stay in the first set. Love 15. Beautiful, crisp forehand. We've lost one world number one today. Surely we're not going to lose a second. But you never know. Sabalenka is not looking totally comfortable. Backhand from Jacquemot to the backhand of Sabalenka. Jacquemot goes deep. That's too deep from the French woman. And it's love 30.
Yeah, Sabalenka just stepping things up when she needs to. Heated conversation at the back of the commentary box as Stefan is explaining why he, quotes, flipped the bird three times at the Empress.
Well, clearly he has a greater assessment of our lift repairing skills than we do.
Sabalenka's just missed. I've got a phone number for the European Court of Human Lifts, so I can get Stefan to deal with that a bit later.
Jacquemot at 15:30. She's hung in extremely well as she serves just too long. On court in front of us, we have a tennis match. Behind us, we have chaos.
Total.
Second serve is good. 400 turn from Sabalenka, 400 from Jacquemot to the backhand of Sabalenka. Sabalenka cross court to the backhand of Jacquemot. Up the line. Defensive forehand from Sabalenka. Jacquemot will go up the backhand wing. Sabalenka won't get to that. Beautiful control of the point by Jacquemot.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's gone quiet, Marcus.
Well, that's because the Empress is gone. Her dinner awaits. She's got to fit a three-course dinner into an hour and 10 minutes.
And that's why I was saying give her an extra 10 minutes. Yeah. I mean...
Actually, no, she hasn't gone.
Look, I thought that was... Yeah, she's in the next window. Door. Forehand from Jacquemot. It's a drop shot. Sabalenka won't get there. That's a lovely shot from Jacquemot.
Just when it looked as though this set was going to slip away from her, she's come up with a couple of terrific bits of imagination,
yeah.
Touch and feel.
Excellent points. 40-30, having been love 30 down. Jacquemot, all in primrose yellow. I say all in, it's a dress. Her shoes are a sort of dusty purple. She serves the forehand of Sabalenka, backhand Jacquemot up the middle of the court, forehand Sabalenka. Jacquemot is there, but nets.
Immense power in these Sabalenka ground strokes. I mean, it's a long way from happening, Chris, but you are the font of all knowledge. Can you recall another day at a slam when both number ones went out on the same day?
You know, I can't quite think of that, but what I do know is that the first day I ever came here was the first day of Roland Garros, 1990, and the top two seeds in the men's singles went out on the same day, which is unusual because normally you don't have the top two seeds playing on the same day. But
was that Edberg
and Becker? To Edberg, I think, lost to Sergio Bruguera.
He did.
And Becker lost to Ivanisevic, I think.
Wow. Why were they playing on the same day?
I don't know. I need to look that one up, but I definitely know it happened. That's a crisp forehand from Sabalenka, which brings up set point. That was my first ever day here.
Sabalenka.
So it's been downhill ever since. Until today, of course, where we had that, well, two amazing stories in the space of a few minutes with Jannik Sinner going out and Moise Kwame winning. And that will be the headlines in all the French press tomorrow. Great story. Jacquemot serves, back in return. Jacquemot's at the net, she plays a half volley. Sabalenka hits the top of the net and it drops back her own side.
Oh, wow. And here we go, I'm already getting flashbacks to last year's final when, of course, Sabalenka was guilty of, what was it, 70-plus unforced errors, and she was bemoaning herself and she struts about looking up at her team. And there are signs of that again here.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think what she's trying to do in this, especially in this 10th game, is to try and out-hit her opponent. She's really going for her shots. Deep backhand now. Forehand from Jacquemot with a lot of air. Forehand from Sabalenka. Forehand Jacquemot to the backhand of Sabalenka. Cross court to the backhand of Jacquemot. Off the line winner! And you can hear that from the crowd. They love this. And I have to say, I am mightily impressed.
That is magnificent. Because as you rightly say, Chris, the power off the Sabalenka racket is quite something, but it's being met with a mixture of pace and subtlety, and there, a brilliant backhand winner down the line.
Merci, mesdames, messieurs.
Sabalenka is making Jacquemot wait. technically she shouldn't do that. You're supposed to play to the server's rhythm, but I think in this heat we allow them to go to their towels. Jacquemot serves, chipped forehand. A drop shot by Jacquemot. Sabalenka won't get to that one either. You can just tell that from the moment it left Jacquemot's racket. And now she's got both arms up, whipping up the crowd. They don't need whipping up. They're behind her already. She's playing a wonderful match, and she's got the world number one at five games all.
And this is rapidly turning into one of the great days of tennis at Roland Garros.
Well, yesterday was pretty good.
But today we've lost the world number one on the men's side. You mentioned Moise Kwamen. I've just come out of his press conference, and what a remarkably composed young man
he is.
Very
composed, yeah. I was following a bit of it on the screen.
But he was charming.
S'il vous plaît.
Do you know anything about his coach, Liam Smith?
No.
No, I don't either. I just thought, the name implies he's not French, but who knows, maybe he is. But Sabalenka serves. 400 from Sabalenka is way long. That's about 2 metres beyond the baseline. And now she's just going to try and smooth a bit of the top dressing behind the service line, which is, I think, is her way of saying that ball took a bad bounce. Might have been off your racket, Arena.
It's never their fault. It's never my fault.
Sabalenka. Serving from the president's box end. The court is in shadow now. She serves out wide. That missed by a fair way. Ball landing about halfway between the sideline of the singles court and the sideline of the doubles court. Second serve. To the backhand of Jacquemot. Jacquemot takes a step back, lofts this one. Flanned out by Sabalenka. A pushed forehand from Jacquemot. A lot of air on that one. Sabalenka flattens it out with a winner. Now that was real raw power from the world number one.
Of course, if this match does go three sets, we're going to have a delayed start to the night session.
The night session, yes.
Which promises to be a bit of a cracker. It's Arthur. I always panic when saying Rinderknecht.
Rinderknecht, yes, that's pretty good. It's a German name, but he's from Alsace, that part of France that was German at various stages of the last 1,000 years, but has been French since 1918. Sabalenka serves, forehand return down the line. A defensive backhand from Sabalenka, hits up for Jacquemot to go cross-court. Sabalenka's read it, goes back across court with a clean winner. That was good tennis nous from Sabalenka.
Yes, it was. I think she anticipated the fact that Jacquemot was going to take the pace off the ball as well. She knew where it was going and she responded with an even more impressive angle. So Rinderknecht is up against Matteo Berrettini.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
That's due to start at 8:15 local time, and of course we'll have ball-by-ball commentary of that, but if there's a delay...
I mean, I suspect that if it's straight sets, it will be on time, but this set has taken 49 minutes already. 30-15. Sabalenka serves. Forehand return is going to drift just inside the sideline, but put away comfortably by Sabalenka on the backhand.
Yeah, she was a little closer to the baseline than she needed to be there because Jacquemot was going the other way, but a little more composure from Sabalenka in this game. And of course, we know just how beautifully she can hit off both wings. I do love watching her play, Chris.
Yeah, she's one of those sort of slightly unorthodox players, but she makes the most of not having that much power. I was talking about Sabalenka.
I thought you were being ironic there.
No.
I think she's got quite a lot of power, Chris Sabalenka.
She's got masses of power,
but
yes.
But I do very much enjoy Jacquemot as well, and the fact that she hasn't got a lot of power and that she's clever with the way she mixes up the pace and all the rest of it. She uses the crowd.
Yes, plays with guile, which uses the crowd here. Wouldn't work outside France to the same extent. Sabalenka went for a big first serve. Thought she'd served the ace. Umpire got off her chair. Not an ace. Backhand return on the second serve. Forehand Sabalenka. That's an emphatic statement. And she holds to 15. And it'll be Jacquemot serving for the second time to stay in the set. Quick update from Suzanne Longlen, where Coco Gauff and Maya Sheriff are 1-1 in the second set. They are a playing a very long second set. And of course, they had about a 7-minute break in that game for a member of the crowd who was was taken ill.
I'm surprised there hasn't been more of that, actually, because as we've been saying, as Sophie and Simon had a great chat earlier today about the need for the authorities at all the slams to look into finding more shade for spectators. If these conditions are to become the norm, then obviously that's a step that everyone's going to have to take. It's been brutal. It's going to be brutal for another couple of days. Then, as we mentioned, next week, complete change. Lots of rain, unfortunately, and much cooler temperatures.
Yeah, but by the time the rain comes, the singles will be down to 2 courts.
That's true.
So we'll be okay in terms of schedule.
We're all right, Jack.
Yeah.
Some great stats from earlier today, by the way, if you weren't with us. Juan Manuel Serrandula becoming the first Argentinian to beat a world number one since Juan Martín Del Potro back in 2018. And just looking here, Jacquemot attempting to become only the third woman from France in the Open era to defeat a number one seed at Roland Garros after Gail Sharif in 1971. I'm sure you remember that very well, Chris.
I interviewed Gail here last year.
Did you?
She
beat Margaret Court, Mary Pierce in 1994 against Steffi Graf, and in 2000 against Martina Hingis, and in 2005 against Lindsay Davenport.
And she was Gail Sharif then, was she? Because she's had 3 names since. She's been married 3 times,
and
her husband's name each time.
Oh.
Yeah. Gail Sharif became Gail Lovera, Gail Chanfrau, and now Gail Benedetti.
And were you talking to her about her marriages or her tennis?
I was talking about the fact that she and her sister were... I think they're the only Australian sister combination to have got to a Grand Slam. I forget the exact claim to fame, but it was an Australian story.
Okay.
Mm. So Jacquemot is serving to stay in the set for the second time, 5-6. She's at love 15.
Got a good quiz question for you in a moment.
Okay.
I mean, you are the doyen, but I think even you might struggle with this one.
Second serve from Jacquemot, backhand return deep to the forehand of Jacquemot. Across court from Sabalenka, that's too good. Although I think it did die in the clay. She hit the backhand cross court and the ball shot through. So love 30. She was love 30 in the last service game, Jacquemot, and she managed to come through it. Jacquemot at the president's box end. There's just sort of a little bit of dappled sunlight slipping through, I think, some of the windows at the top of the stand. Backhand return from Sabalenka. Forehand from Jacquemot. Drop shot by Sabalenka, but that's an awful one. Jacquemot runs it down. Volley from Sabalenka, and that's too good for Jacquemot.
Mm.
Well, Sabalenka getting away with probably the worst drop shot we've seen at Roland Garros this year.
It was awful. It was almost over the service line, I think, but Jacquemot didn't know what to do with it, and she just bunted it straight back at Sabalenka and was marooned as a result.
Absolutely. And so here are 3 set points for the world number one.
Maisie, who
will remain world number one whatever happens for the rest of this tournament. She'll be world number one the week after Roland Garros. That was confirmed when Elena Rybakina was beaten yesterday. Jacquemot, set point against her, backhand return, backhand from Jacquemot down the forehand wing, cross court from Sabalenka, Jacquemot with a forehand, backhand Sabalenka, defensive backhand from Jacquemot, backhand from Sabalenka, Jacquemot's read it, volley from Sabalenka, misses, oh, she was reaching for that, didn't get into position, and pushed it wide.
15 seconds.
And Sabalenka walking very, very slowly back. She's wearing a black dress with just flashes of red in it. I like the design, actually.
I do.
Just a little bit of red.
Suits her.
I think it suits her very well. Wearing white shoes. She doesn't wear a visor or a bandana or a cap. Set point number 2. Good serve from Jacquemot. High return from Sabalenka. Forehand from Jacquemot, but Sabalenka's ready. It slices back. Drop shot by Jacquemot, but it goes wide. And a fascinating 55-minute set ends with the world number one taking it, probably on the basis of her reputation.
Yeah, I mean, she was matched, wasn't she? Right up until that last game, I was so impressed at the way that Jacquemot came back from a very difficult position in her previous service game. But when you're up against the best, it is relentless. And if you drop just for a second, or if you get just a bit tight because you're serving to stay in a set, you know what's going to happen. You'll pay the price, and that's what she has done. Now, Chris.
Yes.
Great. Knowledgeable Chris Bowers. Camila Osorio has just become the first Colombian woman to reach round three at Roland Garros for 22 years.
Yeah.
Can you name the last Colombian woman?
I suspect it was Catalina Castaño.
No.
No, oh, okay. The last Colombian woman.
Well, I've got to confess that I don't remember this lady.
Okay. There was a Colombian player who had cancer and came back. She got cancer very young, but came through it. Go on, tell me.
Fabiola Zuluaga.
Yes, I do remember Fabiola. It wasn't her. I think it was Castaño that had the cancer.
Right.
Zuluaga, yes, I remember. She was a very charismatic player.
Well, I knew you'd know of her, but that was a tough one. Thanks to our unofficial statistician, Max Wadsworth, who comes up with all these brilliant stats.
Thank you, Max.
He's got another one. First time in the Open era that we've got three Polish women in a slam third round.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised at how well the Swiss are doing. The Swiss women are doing incredibly well here.
They are?
Yeah. They lost...
Time!
Who's the player who... I'll look at my draw sheet.
A Swiss player who went out?
Yes, earlier today.
De Dimanche.
I've been too busy watching Sinner.
Oh, yeah, Susan Bandecki, who lost to Kazakhkina. I knew there was relevance because Kazakhkina awaits the winner of this match. Just update you on scores. Felix Auger-Aliassime has taken a long third set against Roman Andres Buruchaga.
And that match between Goff and Sharif, they've only played three games of the second set. Goff has got the break there, so she is now a set and a break up. The defending champion, of course.
Yes, having beaten Sabalenka in last year's final. And you mentioned Sabalenka had all those unforced errors, and it led her to give a slightly uncharitable speech at the trophy ceremony. She has apologised for it since. She said she was just caught up in the moment and, she did not want to denigrate Goff's victory, which I think is absolutely right, and I think we understand that. But it was just, when I listened to it, I thought, oh, that's a shame, because she's a good...
I also thought she was just being searingly honest, though.
I think she was. Yes,
I do
you're right.
Think, and nothing against Goff, who was a worthy winner, but I kind of felt that Sabalenka did lose that final.
I think you're right. I think she did, but you still have to, in that moment, you see, whatever one thinks of Djokovic, and we know that he polarizes opinion, he has been absolutely exemplary. Every Grand Slam final that he's lost, he has been so complimentary about his, the opponent that's beaten him. And it's just excellent diplomacy.
Stefan's walked out of the room. He's probably stuck in another lift. I don't know what Courtney has been doing with the computer, but it's completely stopped working. So any tweets and emails are your responsibility, I'm afraid.
Okay, right. Well, we'll see about that.
So you've got the ball by ball, and you've got the tweets and emails, and the other updated scores, please, and a few historical questions for you.
Oh, and Sabalenka misses a short forehand. That's a horrible stroke. She hits the loose ball sky high. Don't blame her, actually. So it's love 40 on the Sabalenka serve at the start of the second set. Right, well, I've got my screen back, and somebody, Happy Me, I think it is, has told us who Liam Smith is.
Oh, good.
The umpire's off her chair just inspecting the mark, so we're not missing anything. Happy Me says, I bet Courtney knows who Liam Smith is. He's well known in Australia with a long list of famous players that he's coached. Gael Monfils speaks very highly of him, it seems. Happy Me has posted something. Liam Smith's a highly accomplished ATP coach with a remarkable history of coaching and developing elite players over the past two decades. Notable achievements include coaching ATP players Gael Monfils, Borna Coric, Matt Hebden, Radu Albot, as well as top WTA players Coco Gauff and Sloane Stephens.
That's not a bad CV.
Well, no. I mean, I'm surprised I don't know him. Anyway, what's going on in the background?
Well,
since I'm dealing with all the technology.
There was the check of the line called by the umpire. And then she had a little bit of a conversation with Giacomo, who wasn't very thrilled about what was going on. But the bottom line is she's got two break points nonetheless.
Sabalenka, 15-40, serves off the top of the net and long. Second serve. Well, it'll come eventually. Sabalenka. It's still hot out there, but they're not in the sun anymore. Not in direct sunlight. Forehand return is netted by Jacquemot.
It's interesting, actually, that you mentioned Liam Smith and Gael Monfils, because there's one very obvious similarity between the way Kwame performs on the court and Monfils. He's a natural entertainer. And
yeah.
he was high-fiving people in the crowd during his match today.
Yes. There's one interesting moment, which I hesitate to mention, but I will, just to start a debate. After this point, 30-40, Jacquemot hits a return of serve deep to the forehand of Sabalenka. Backhand from Jacquemot into the net. She took that second serve really well, did the French woman. I think it was in the final set tiebreak. It was certainly in the final set. Maybe in around five games or possibly in the tiebreak. There was a drop shot which Kwame ran down, didn't get it back, and in trying to get it, ended up flat on his back on the court. The umpire came down just to check that he was okay and held out her hand to give him a hand up.
Yeah, I saw that, actually.
Now, I mean, it was a nice gesture, all bit of fun, and don't want to get too heavy about this, but given that it's a really physical match, should the umpire be helping a player get up? The missed forehand from Jacquemot, and Sabalenka's won 4 points on the run.
Well, it's not usual behaviour, but I haven't got a particular problem with it.
I'm probably being a bit too picky. It just strikes me as sort of, I suppose, you know, when you see people pushing cyclists along in some of these road races. Sabalenka serves too long. I don't know, maybe it's not an issue. When I saw it happen, I just thought, not sure the umpire should be doing that. Unless the player is sort of quite clearly injured.
Well, he was okay, though,
wasn't
he?
He was okay. He was just sort of taking a breather, having run down that drop shot and not got it. Backhand up the line by Sabalenka. Wins the point, wins the game. Really good game for her, having been love 40 down.
Yeah, these opportunities are so precious, and Jacquemot really cannot squander a love 40. Going back to Kwame, though, he was saying, I practice whipping the crowd up even when I'm training. I mean, he's not been used until this week, of course, to playing in front of big crowds, and the atmosphere on Suzanne Longlen today was absolutely electrifying.
Unbelievable.
But he was saying to us just a few moments ago, I'm on the practice court, and I put my hand to my ear as if I'm encouraging the invisible crowd to cheer me on. I'll do high fives with my coach. He's been preparing for this moment, he says. It's an absolute dream of his to be playing at this sort of level. Of course, he was then asked about winning the whole thing, and we got the old stats out. We know, 1983, no, and 1946, Marcel Bernard, and he was wise enough to say, I think it's a little early to be talking about me becoming a champion.
Yes, well, he's learned how to keep the pressure off himself.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
One other interesting thing about him as well, which I'll come back to.
Serve down the centre from Jacquemot and Sabalenka nets.
Because obviously he beat Marin Cilic a couple of days ago. There was the best part of 20 years between those two. But he said, I don't go out onto court thinking how old my opponent is. He says, I think that's an irrelevance. We shouldn't focus on that.
That's
it does
point,
not
actually.
Matter.
It's a good point, yeah. I wonder if he thinks about it at 4-all in the fifth set, thinking, I'm 20 years younger than this guy.
Mm.
He may be feeling a bit tired. But then why should a 37-year-old feel more tired than a 17-year-old?
No, probably feels more stress against a 17-year-old.
That's a good return from Sabalenka. Now takes a backhand volley out of the air. Jacquemot's read this, but her backhand won't go in. Woody has said, hi Marcus, hi Chris, listening in from a hot and humid east of England. Enjoying having the commentary everywhere I go. It's been a long time since a Grand Slam on the ATP side was so wide open at such an early stage. And now there's some fascinating stories to unfold. I was looking actually at the top half of the draw. Thanks, Woody. Yes, good point. The only player in the top half of the draw who has been in a Grand Slam final is Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Interesting.
So we're almost certain, given Tsitsipas' ranking, to have a first-time Grand Slam finalist.
I mean, listen, Jannik Sinner is a brilliant player. Nobody wants anybody to go out in the manner that he did today. But it has provided some fascinating subplots
exactly.
on the men's draw.
And who's going to be excited? I mean, for me, Ben Shelton. This is a great moment for him. Luciano Darderi, you know, he's the 14th seed. He's a possibility for the final. That's a lofted high ball from Shakmo. Sabalenka backpedals. She'll smash off the bounds. And very successfully too. Just came around the side of the ball. Good angle.
I'm not trying to be clever, of course, Chris. But I do wish to remind everybody that only one of us did not go for Jannik Sinner.
And that was you?
That was me.
Okay, and who did you go for?
I went for Novak Djokovic. And okay. Now, of course, he's won more Grand Slam matches in 2026 than anybody else.
That is true. Yes. Yes. A drop shot by Jacquemot. That's not her best one. And Sabalenka will run it down, puts it away nicely. And it's a break point for Sabalenka.
30-40.
My dark horse is still in the top half of the draw.
Being
Tsitsipas. I just thought, I didn't think he would win it, but I thought he might. He's due some form. And because he's got to the final here, I just wonder whether this is the place where he might just tap into some form. Breakpoint Sabalenka. Jacquemot serves. Backhand return to the backhand of Jacquemot. Backhand Sabalenka. It's backhand to backhand at the moment. Now Sabalenka goes into out. Forehand from Jacquemot. Sabalenka takes it on the full. Jacquemot's ready. Throws up the lob, but that'll be smashed away by Sabalenka. It is. And she takes a 2-love lead.
Yeah, she's moving into unstoppable territory now. A couple of scares towards the end of the opening set, then finding herself at love 40 a couple of games ago. But she's got the sense now, I think, the feeling that victory is within her grasp. And of course, as we always say, if you want to go all the way, you must, particularly in these conditions, expend the least amount of energy as possible in the opening three or four matches.
Holding serve is at a premium in the Goff-Sheriff match because they keep breaking each other. Goff is now back 3-2 up. She's about to serve, but that doesn't necessarily mean she has an advantage. Certainly the way that one's going. Sabalenka is serving, and she does seem to have an advantage now. She serves out wide. Forehand return is a clean winner. Beautiful forehand down the line from Jacquemot. She saw her opponent was coming in. Went for that gap. It's not a big gap, but it's there.
Yeah, I mean, whatever happens today, Jacquemot can most certainly update her CV with three or four wonderful winners against the world number one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Have you got your computer screen working again?
No, and Stefan's still in the lift again, so as soon as he comes back, I will request some AD.
I don't think Stefan's going to spend any time in the lift.
Well, he's not in the lift. Oh, no, he's out on the balcony.
Is he enjoying the sunshine?
Oh, he's...
Yes,
he's getting a bit of sun. I think he might be on the phone.
Ah, right. Back in return to the backhand of Sabalenka, clean winner. She's starting to just step it up now.
Let me ask you a question, Chris, because it was one that was posed to Jannik Sinner, and it's so easy in hindsight, but a couple of hours ago they said, you know, had you not played as much in the build-up to Roland Garros, all the success in Madrid and Rome, maybe you'd be a bit fresher now. In the same way, do you think Sabalenka actually might have an advantage because she's had, by her own standards, a modest clay court swing?
Yes, possibly. I think it might depend who she comes up against in the latter stages of the tournament because, you know, she could have a semi-final against Goff and a final against Świątek. You know, it's all very well Rybakina having gone out, but for me, she was the least threatening of the four top seeds. So I suspect Sabalenka will come through this now. I think she's overcome the hurdle. She's broken the back of the match. Backhand from Sabalenka to the backhand of Jacquemot. Forehand from Sabalenka is a drop shot off the top of the net and drops back her own side from a double kiss.
Yeah, that bobbled and bobbled again.
It almost rolled along the top of the net. Well, 15-30. Not over yet.
And you're quite right to point out the very dangerous obstacles in her way, mind you. Remember how she destroyed Świątek in the end last year here?
Yes, but that was Świątek last year, who seemed strangely out of sorts on the clay. She's back. She's looking not quite at her best, but pretty good. And she's working with Rafa's former coach. Big forehand from Sabalenka. Clean winner. 30-all.
Do you call him Rafa's former coach?
No, he was assistant coach, wasn't he?
Or Emma Raducanu's former coach?
All 4 months of it. Yes, he tried to change my forehand. I didn't like that.
No.
Yes. And we've got an interesting question here from Joanne and Paul, which we'll come to after this point. Serves down the centre, Sabalenka does. Now hits a forehand to the backhand wing, looking very comfortable. Enjoying the chat while husband and I travel to the Scottish borders for some mountain biking this weekend. Well, keep us in your head, your earphones.
Lovely.
Joanne. Question, with the change in weather next week, does that significantly change who will go further in the slam and ultimately win? I don't know. I mean, we used to say that when Nadal was playing, because Nadal just loved the good weather because his topspin was just, it was pretty vicious at the best of times. But then I think the best match he ever played here was under the roof on a pretty cold day in October 2020, the October final.
Oh, yes.
And he beat Djokovic for the loss of seven games. And I think he played better that day than he did against Federer in the 2008 final.
Gosh, that was such a strange year, though, wasn't it?
It was. Totally strange. A drop shot by Sabalenka is too good. And she holds and leads by three games to love. I mean, you see, Świątek has won this tournament in hot weather and in cold weather. So I don't think it bothers her. I would say it helps Sabalenka for the weather to be good because she's a bigger hitter. And therefore, you know, when it's sunny, the ball travels through the air just a little bit quicker. And the court is a bit more baked. It plays a bit more like a hard court. I would say Sabalenka's chances would go down if it was overcast. Remember last year's final was overcast, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
A bit of drizzle even.
Another interesting theory that was thrown at us earlier with regards to who might become champion on the men's side now that Sinner has gone out. Well, you'd think that it improves Sasha Zverev's opportunities, but we had a couple of messages saying that they actually felt he'd be even more hindered because suddenly there'd be that extra weight of expectation on his shoulders maybe to go all the way and win his first slam. I don't know what you think about that.
I'm afraid I came to the conclusion in January of this year that Zverev will never win a major. I'd love to be wrong because I think he has processed things that have happened to him in life and I think he is a better person as a result of it. I will say no more than that. And therefore, I would like him to have that reward of a slam. Seeing the way when he served for the match against Alcaraz in the semi-final in Australia, where he just instinctively went to safety and opened the door to Alcaraz. In successive games, he served for the match, lost his serve, and then lost again.
And he must know about that frailty, but of course it's one thing knowing about it.
How do you deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, but that'll be one of the most fascinating aspects of the tail end of the fortnight. If he's still involved, if he's still got a chance and he finds himself under pressure again, good luck to him.
A back and return from Sabalenka, backhand from Jacquemot. Sabalenka goes cross court but into the net. We have a question here from Jody. It's addressed to me, but basically
you carry on chatting to Jody. I'll just sit here.
Thank you for the compliment, Jody. I have a question. Do you believe that the French Open will be the elusive slam that Sinner will struggle to get and will have to chase during his career? It's kind of starting to look that way to me. No, I think it's too early to say that. I think he will win it one day. It depends a little bit, you know, does Alcaraz come back? What about other clay quarters? You know, how will Hodar develop? How will Kwame develop? How will Lander Luthe is into the third round?
I mean, I think what we can say with a degree of certainty is that he's always going to get the heebie-jeebies in future here on Chatray when he's two sets up. Because now twice in three matches, he's lost it from two sets up.
He didn't have any match points today, did he?
No. He got to 5-1. I'm not sure what the score in that particular game was, but he didn't actually get to a match point.
No, and that's where I think he started to hit the wall, even at 5-1. Cyrundolo won 18 points on the run.
Extraordinary.
In that third set.
Talking of hitting the wall, Jacquemot now at love 3-15-40, Chris. Yeah.
I'm not sure if she's hitting the wall. I suspect she's played Sabalenka in. She's now hitting more freely. And that so often happens. You get a tight first set against an underdog. And if they can't take it, then Sabalenka nets her backhand. Still a bit patchy from Sabalenka. But she's got a second break point here, and that would be for a double break.
Madison Keys is about to serve for the match on court 14 against Antonio Rusic of Croatia, 6-4-5-2. And I note that Katie Bolter is poised to get underway on court 13 against Anastasia Podapova, who is the number 28 seed. And in a moment, I'll come back to you, Chris, about another British player that we both want to talk about.
Yes.
Well,
a message return from Sabalenka, and we're back at deuce. I say back at deuce. We're at deuce for the first time in this game. Dan in San Francisco is not concerned about the safety part of being stuck in the elevator, but I am concerned. I wonder what I'd do if I needed the bathroom. Yes, good point. That's a very good point from Jacquemot. Again, Sabalenka is finding the net rather too often.
Stefan's coming to the rescue with my computer. Right. I mean, Courtney Walsh has been doing, well, I won't say unspeakable things. Oh, that was quick. Oh, hasn't been doing many bad things at all. That was very quick. I thought that was going to be a good 10-minute job.
It was one of the old Peanuts cartoons, wasn't there, many years ago. It says, it's not whether you win or lose that counts, but how you place the blade, which you are enacting in exemplary fashion, Marcus. We're back at deuce here.
One of the few things I'm good at is passing blame on. We will talk about Fran Jones in a moment, because both Chris and I were in her press conference, and for those of you around the world who might not know too much about her, it's a fascinating story.
Yes. I was actually trying to persuade the editor of a magazine. I said, look, Fran Jones is an international story. The fact that she's British, ignore that. You know, whatever nationality she is, it's a fascinating story. Jacquemot serves. She has advantage. She goes back to the backhand of Sabalenka. Backhand from Jacquemot. Forehand Sabalenka. Jacquemot's read this one. She goes down the backhand wing. Half volley from Sabalenka. Down the line, Jacquemot wins. Oh, nice shot.
Still some life.
Game. So 3-1.
Yeah, still some life in her, Chris. Not much life left, I think, in Maya Sharif, because Coco Gauff has got to match points on court. Suzanne Longlen, she took the first set 6-3, and she's 5-2 40 love after an hour and 49 minutes. Felix Auger-Aliassime is close to victory as well against Roman Andres Buruchaga. Felix is up by 2-1 and 3-1, 40-30 in the fourth.
Did you watch the World Cup final when his dad scored the winner?
I did.
Yes.
I wonder how many times people ask him about that. Must
probably. I mean,
be quite annoying.
He played soccer himself as a child, but when he had to choose between soccer and tennis, he said, no, I'm definitely playing tennis. Maybe because of his dad.
Yeah.
But with the name Buruchaga.
It's a good decision. Gauff's won. The defending champion is through to the third round with a 6-3, 6-2 victory over Maya Sharif of Egypt.
And her next opponent will be either Katie Bolter or Anastasia Potapova.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
And from Sabalenka wins the point. She moves to 15 love.
We'll come to Fran Jones at the...
the change of ends.
Next sit-down, yeah. Yes.
The women's draw is really shaping up. Did Zachary beat Claire Liu? She was well ahead in the final set, so I think she probably did. We'll check on that one. But most of the women's matches are now complete. Sabalenka serves just too long.
Backhand Bobby has been back in touch with regards to your very first day here.
Oh, yes. Sabalenka serves. Backhand return. Forehand from Sabalenka, deep to the backhand of Jacquemot. Now Jacquemot goes cross-court again. It's backhand to backhand at the moment. A slice from Jacquemot. Sits up for Sabalenka, goes up the forehand wing, and it's a clean winner. Jacquemot ready. Just couldn't get anywhere near it.
To answer your first question, Maria Sakkari did win in three sets. And to go back to backhand Bobby, he says... he believes there's a commemorative plaque by the gate which says Chris Bowers first walked through this door at 9:27 on the whatever of whatever 1990.
It would have been, well, the sort of last Monday in May, I'm assuming. Yeah, it was the first day, so...
Because he's suggesting the reason that the top two seeds would have been playing on the same day is because there must have been rain delays, but if it was the first day, that wouldn't be the case.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that at all. A beautiful sunny day, actually. Backhand from Sabalenka deep to the backhand of Sheriff. Oh, Sheriff, she's just lost to golf. Jack Moe. And Jack Moe hits a beautiful lob, which I missed because I've got the name wrong.
I do love it when another player suddenly pops up on court.
Yes.
Reminds me of the famous story of Bill Threlfall, who was a wonderful commentator, and I'm sure you worked with him back in the day.
I think he was just stopping when I was starting.
And he was once, it was at Roland Garros, and in a position where he was obviously overlooking Philippe Chatrier, but they were commentating on another court, and he got a bit confused and started commentating on the wrong match.
Yes.
The one in front of him rather than the one on the screen.
Yeah, that has happened. It's a risk of doing something off screen. 40-15, Sabalenka. Points for 4-1. I did once do a match at the Asian Games involving the Ratiwatana twins, identical twins playing doubles.
Oh, no.
And unlike the Bryans and the Gullicksons and a lot of others, they were both right-handers. A smash from Sabalenka. Giacomo gets a racket to that. Would it go back? No, it won't. And Sabalenka holds for 4-1. I was very consistent. I called one of them Sanchai, the other one Sanchat, all the way through. Consistently. To this day, I have no idea whether I got the right ones or not.
Well, the good news for you is that nobody else does either.
Exactly.
Do you ever play this ATP Fantasy League game, Chris?
No, I did look into it a couple of years ago, but I have enough of the real stuff.
Well, Chris, Woody, who's, as we know, is in a, at least I think you're still Chris, in a hot and humid east of England, does play it, and he says, I saved my triple bounce chip. That's where you score triple points for Roland Garros. When Carlos Alcaraz withdrew, I thought I'd hit the jackpot with Jannik Sinner. Alas, not. Unbelievable, he says. Oh, that's bad news for your ATP fantasy. Now, listen, Fran Jones, British player, we were in her press conference yesterday. I mean, if you could just very quickly explain the physical issues that she's dealing with.
Yesterday lunchtime said, we were talking about her physical issues. She was born with this condition called EEC. I have read what it stands for. But basically, she has one thumb and three fingers on both hands, which means holding a tennis racket is difficult. And she's born with seven toes. So she's missing one on one foot and two on the other. And the fact that she's been ranked in the top 70 is phenomenal. She's just outside the top 100 at the moment, but I think she'll go back in the top 100, having won her first Grand Slam main draw match last Sunday. She lost yesterday. But we had a message from someone saying, does she have to wear special shoes? And I didn't know the answer to that. I did say that having watched her on Sunday, she didn't seem to slide very much. But you and I were both in Jones's press conference yesterday, so we asked her the question. Back and return from Sabalenka. The defensive backhand drops just inside the Sabalenka baseline. Cross court from Sabalenka is too good for Jack May. And her answer was very interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, she says she wears conventional shoes that we'd all get in a shop or she's given by her manufacturer. But it's all about the insoles that allow her... Well, I mean, what's very interesting is that she's stronger on one side of her body as opposed to the other.
Yes, her left leg is 30% weaker than her right. I'm assuming that's probably the leg where she's missing two toes. And she says she slides more to her forehand, which is the right leg, which is interesting. But she said she's had somebody in Barcelona who has been working with her since she was 10 years old.
Yeah.
She's, what, 25 now?
Yeah.
And he has worked with her. And the great thing about the shoes that she wears is that they have room for these very, very special insoles. But clay is her favourite surface. She spent a fair bit of her childhood in Barcelona, did a lot of playing on clay.
And she's such a fighter, Chris.
Oh, she's... And what was the line she came up with on Sunday? I'm a mentality monster.
Yes.
Isn't that a great line? And it sums her up beautifully.
Well, she's really got something about her.
Yeah.
And I mean, she pushes herself so hard. There was a very good article. I cannot remember where I read it a week or two ago, maybe a bit longer. And there is a fear that she pushes herself so hard so often that if she's not careful, she could do real damage down the line. But, yeah. You know, she can't help herself.
No, she's just very, very determined. It was a lovely moment yesterday, actually. I was sitting watching a lot of her match yesterday. She lost 6-love, 7-6.